join together in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for being so, so good to us. That your love for us is a never-ending love. You pursue us. Even when we've turned our back on you, even when we have said we don't want anything to do with you, and we've chosen to go our own way, do our own thing, Lord, you never give up on us. You continue to pursue us because you love us so much. A love so great that you were willing to sacrifice the life of your own Son so that we could be forgiven of our sin and reconciled to a right relationship with you. So that we could spend eternity praising you and fulfilling what you created us to be. To be able to experience a life here on earth that is truly blessed. God, thank you for such amazing and wonderful love. Thank you for being so, so good to us. And Father, I know as we gather in your presence this morning that some are going through some real trials, facing some real challenges before them. I pray that you would just speak to them and that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would see you more clearly today and come to know you at a deeper level, a more intimate relationship as you reveal yourself to them, as you once again show that you are more than sufficient for our every need. Father, forgive us when we try to find fulfillment in all the wrong places instead of finding our fulfillment in you, the one who is sufficient for every need. And so, Lord, I just entrust this service into your hands as we've lifted our voices to sing your praise, to be reminded of the nearness of your presence right here in this very room, in this very moment. God, thank you for being present. Speak to us as we continue to worship you. For I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen as Dwayne and Melissa come and lead us in worship through song.
Good morning. If you have a problem and no one can solve it, if you have a sickness that no one can heal, if you need a miracle but there's not one inside, just call on my Father. He will make your future bright. He'll make your future bright. His name is Jesus, Alpha and Omega, Rock and Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, the Rose of Sharon, Creator and Deliverer, Horn of Salvation, Holy and Righteous One.
You got to admit, that's some pretty cool music for a Sunday morning.
If you have confusion with no understanding, if you have depression from loneliness deep within, if you are in bondage with no freedom inside, just call on my Father. He will make your future bright. He'll make your future bright. His name is Jesus, Alpha and Omega, Rock and Redeemer, Wonderful Counselor, the Rose of Sharon, Creator and Deliverer, Born of Salvation, Holy and Righteous One. His name is Jesus, Holy and Righteous One.
Well, you ever find yourself stuck between a rock and a hard place? You know, we use that phrase and phrases like that, you know, being up a creek without a paddle or out on a limb. And those phrases describe situations where it seems like every option available is a negative option. Or maybe you're in a situation and there doesn't seem to be any options available. There seems to be no way out. You're just stuck. And there's no options available. There doesn't seem to be any possible way out. Maybe it's a marriage that's dissolving, a family dysfunctional, children disobedient, a job too demanding, a relationship or a habit that's destroying. Many times we find ourselves in such dire circumstances because we have disregarded God's word, we've disobeyed God's plan, we made choices to do what we wanted to do and ended up where we are in this rock in a hard place. But sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that can be very confusing and painful, and it's not the result of any sinful choices that we've made on our part. And regardless of the reason behind our particular rock in a hard place, I've got good news for you. God is waiting to reveal Himself to you in the midst of your painful situation. Even if you've hit rock bottom, He wants you to know that He is the rock at the bottom. Your difficult circumstance, your particular rock in a hard place, can become your opportunity to know God better as He reveals Himself to you through this particular circumstance so that you can come to know Him at a deeper level. Now, the key to such revelation is to be looking and listening for God to reveal Himself to you. That is exactly what Moses did when he encountered God in the most unlikely of places. Moses, I would remind you, was born to Israelite parents who were slaves in Egypt. Moses ends up being adopted by Pharaoh's daughter and is raised in Pharaoh's palace. He grew up as a man with tremendous promise and potential in Egypt. But he lost that life of privilege by murdering an Egyptian soldier in an attempt to defend and deliver his people, the Hebrews. And so in fear and being rejected by his very own people, Moses fled or ran away from Egypt and became a shepherd. For 40 years, he has lived in the middle of the wilderness, going nowhere, tending sheep day after day after day, until that day when he encountered God in such a way that radically transformed the direction of his life. Exodus chapter 3 records this life-changing encounter, and it reveals another very important name for God as we continue in this series looking at the names of God, revealing just how awesome he is. Moses was doing what he'd done every day for 40 years, taking care of sheep out in the wilderness, when he saw something unbelievable. A burning bush that was not being consumed by the fire. We read in Exodus 3:3. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to investigate, then God called to Moses from the burning bush, and God revealed himself to Moses. Notice there in the text that the Lord did not reveal himself to Moses until Moses stopped what he was doing and he went over to investigate that bush. To know God deeper and better, to receive a new understanding of his character and nature, we must be looking for and listening for him in the midst of our current circumstance. Tony Evans, in his study, The Power of God's Names, writes this: when you allow the circumstances of life to consume all your energy and attention, you run the risk of missing something important that God wants you to see, experience, or understand. You run the risk of missing God. So when you confront a mess in life, stay focused on Him so that you'll be ready to receive what He wants to show you. So what was this grand revelation that God had prepared for Moses through that burning bush? It's recorded in verse 14, where God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. In response to the question from Moses to know God's name, God reveals his personal name here to Moses. In English, that is translated as Jehovah, sometimes also translated as Yahweh. It means self-existing one or self-revealing one. This is the most commonly used name for God that we find in the Old Testament. It refers to God as the covenant-keeping, faithful God who is all-sufficient. God's answer to Moses' question about his identity is kind of wrapped up in this one answer. Those two words, I am, contain a treasure chest of truth. I am reveals God as the self-existent one. He always exists in the past, the present, and the future. This word for I am contains the tense of the verb to be. In essence, he's saying, I was, I am, and I always will be. God said, I am that I am. God had the ability to become to His people whatever their needs required. God was declaring, I will be to you whatever you need. I am everywhere, all the time, within, without, before, behind, above, beneath, past, present, and future. That was the message. I was, I am, and I always will be in charge of all things. Jehovah, or Yahweh, is the personal covenant name for God. It was so sacred and holy, the Jews would never even pronounce that name. They would substitute the word Lord instead of speaking this hallowed name, this personal name for God. It reveals God, the great I Am, is present. And He is present in your circumstance. He's present even if you're in that place there between a rock and a hard spot. Our awesome God is the great I Am, the faithful and dependable God who is all sufficient to meet our every need. God revealed Himself to Moses in a personal way. Centuries later, His revelation would be even more personal as God would become man in the person of Jesus Christ. And during His earthly ministry, Jesus took on this personal name for God, clearly revealing to everyone that He was indeed God in the flesh. As He was teaching among some Jews, they were singing the praise of Father Abraham, and Jesus made this statement and said, before Abraham was, I am. Now we hear that and think that's bad grammar, but that's good theology. He's claiming and using this very name, this personally revealed name that God gave to Moses. And the Jews who heard Him make that statement clearly understood the implication because they picked up stones and were going to stone Him because that was blasphemy in their minds. He's claiming to be God. And that would be blasphemy except for the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus, God in the flesh. So no matter what situation you are facing or what your need may be, Jesus is sufficient for you. You need peace? I am. Need direction? I am. Need patience? I am. Need love? Jesus said, I am. Need kindness? I am. Need joy? I am. You need strength? I am. You need hope? I am. You need self-control? I am. Need forgiveness or grace? Jesus said, I am. Need courage? Power, faith, righteousness. Jesus says, I am. You need a new beginning. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the immortal, invisible, only wise God. God is sufficient. I am the first and the last. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am faithful and true. I am who I am. Jesus is the great I Am, who is our awesome God, and He is sufficient for our every need. He wants to reveal Himself to you in your present circumstance to show you, to reveal to you that He really is sufficient for whatever need you have. Question is, are you listening for His voice? Are you looking for Him in the midst of your circumstance? Maybe we just need to kind of push the pause button on life and slow down from the busy schedules so that we can look and listen for what He wants to reveal to us. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." Jehovah or Yahweh is our awesome God who is all sufficient. And as such, He is able to meet our every need. Jehovah or Yahweh is the personal name for God, revealing Him as the covenant-keeping, faithful God. He is personally involved in His creation, and He desires to be personally involved in your circumstance. To understand God as Jehovah is to understand that He is a person whose name is Jesus, who wants us to know Him in a personal and intimate way, who knows us in a personal and intimate way. The gospel is the good news that the just and gracious God of the universe has looked upon hopelessly sinful people and sent His Son, Jesus, God in the flesh, to bear His wrath against sin on the cross and to show His power over sin through the resurrection, so that all who have faith in Him will be reconciled to God. Believe what God has said. Receive what God has done on your behalf through Jesus, so that you can begin this relationship with the God who is personal. The observance of the Lord's Supper is a celebration of this personal relationship with the all-sufficient God. We gather at this table not because we are worthy. We're not. We gather at this table because we accepted an invitation. Just as Moses accepted the invitation from God that day there at the burning bush to pause from his responsibilities as a shepherd, and he went over and investigated that burning bush, so we also have accepted God's invitation to draw near. We have received from Him this precious gift of salvation made possible through Jesus Christ. We come to this table today not because we are sufficient, but because Jesus is sufficient. The bread and the juice are not produced by us. We simply receive them. And by receiving the bread and the juice, we're proclaiming our dependence upon Him. All who have accepted God's invitation to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ are welcome to join with us in our observance of this Lord's Supper. I would ask you just to hold the bread and the juice until everyone has been served so that we may partake of that together. Deacons, I want to invite you to come and join me here at the front as we prepare to serve the elements of the supper. I'm going to ask Wayne Stahl, if you would please, to lead us in prayer as we receive the bread.
Heavenly Father, we praise You, Lord, for this unconditional love that You have shown each one of us by Your sending Your Son to die on the cross for us. I'm just amazed at how You continue to love us even though we sin on a daily basis. I pray, Lord, for me and the rest of the church that we could ask for forgiveness and turn away from those sins and commit our lives completely to You, and as Moses did, look for You, seek You out in our lives, that You are real and that we worship You daily. I pray that You would give us the power to do Your will, to please You, and this bread, as we take it, Lord, that we would remember all that You've done for us, not only in the past, but what You're going to do for us in our lives moving forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Serve the deacons. Men, you may be seated. The bread and the juice are symbols of Jesus' body and blood, and eating the bread, drinking the juice, is this picture of our participation in His life. Eating the bread is this symbolic picture that we have received into our own hearts and lives, the bread of life, Jesus. And He is absorbed into every facet of our life. As we eat this bread, we're reminded that Jesus gave His life to purchase our redemption. He is the great I Am who now dwells in this earthly tent or tabernacle, this temple for the great I Am. Matthew records in his gospel, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take,
and eat. This is my body. Men, would you please stand as we prepare to share the juice? I'm going to ask Bob Hewlett, if you would please, to lead us in prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. Thankful for your love that you have for each of us. We're thankful for the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. Let this juice be a blessing to us, that we would remember that the sacrifices that you made on the cross, so that we might have forgiveness of sin. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Serve the congregation. And you may be seated. The juice that you hold in your hand is a symbol of the blood of Jesus, Love that was poured out there at Calvary to make atonement for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Matthew goes on to record these words from Jesus. It says, then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I know that as we gather together this morning, that for some of you, you're going through some really difficult circumstances right now, and being caught between a rock and a hard place is a very accurate description of what your life presently looks like. Maybe you feel like you have no options or maybe no way out. And it may very well be that your present circumstance, as uncomfortable and painful as it is your burning bush. And God is wanting to reveal Himself to you through your particular circumstance so that you will come to a deeper and better understanding of who He is and what He can do in your life as you discover that He really is sufficient for you. He is the answer to what you need and what you're looking for. Like Moses, though, you'll have to choose to accept his invitation to stop, push the pause button, and look and listen for what God's trying to communicate to you. You must make that deliberate decision to draw near to the Lord in the midst of your circumstance. And we have this promise from God in James chapter 4 that says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. This particular rock in a hard place may be your breakthrough moment where God reveals Himself to you and once again proves Himself faithful, that He really is sufficient for what you need. Don't allow this present circumstance to consume all of your energy and attention, because you might just miss something important that God is trying to teach you. Jehovah, the great I Am, is present in your circumstance, and He really is sufficient for your need. Focus on Him so that you'll be ready to receive what He has to reveal to you as you go through, and I emphasize through, this current circumstance. It will not last forever. Let God reveal Himself to you and prove Himself again that He really is sufficient for you. And at the end, you'll come out with a deeper and better understanding of His sufficiency. The great I Am. Let's join together in prayer. Father, I thank You that when we're going through those difficult times, when we feel like we're caught between a rock and a hard place, and there doesn't appear to be any good options available or any way out, that may just be our burning bush opportunity. God, help us to pause and to begin to look and to listen for what You're trying to communicate to us, what You want to teach us, how You want to reveal Yourself to us, just as You revealed Yourself to Moses. Because then we'll discover that You truly are sufficient, and You are the answer. You are the way out. You provide a way of escape. You give us grace to endure. But it all hinges on You. God, I pray that those that are facing some really difficult times right now, Lord, that they will just find in You peace and hope to come through. Speak that word of encouragement now, quietly in their ear and in their heart. Assure them they're not alone, that You are present in their circumstance, to reveal yourself to them, to supply exactly what they need. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The song of response is an opportunity to respond to how God is speaking to you, how God is working in your heart and life. And maybe this morning that is to say, you know, I need to be a part of a local church family, and I believe this is the church God wants me to be a part of. We would welcome you to come and join with us here. And you communicate that by just stepping out and coming and meet me here at the front and say, Pastor, I'd like to be a part of this church family. And we will welcome you into this family of faith and what God is doing here. Maybe as we were doing this observance of the supper, you couldn't participate because you've never responded to God's invitation before. Well, today's your opportunity. Why not today? To welcome Jesus into your heart and life and begin this wonderful adventure knowing that God is present with you to see you through whatever life brings. And I would encourage you just to step out and come and meet me at the front and say, Pastor, I need to make that commitment to Jesus, and we'll pray together and share how you can do that. As we stand and sing, I invite you to come. Ushers, if you would please come forward as we prepare to receive our offering. I want to remind you that today with the Lord's Supper, we'll also be receiving a special benevolence offering as you leave. There will be deacons at the exits there with baskets. If you would like to contribute to this special benevolence offering, that's kind of above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to the church. And that benevolence offering is used to minister to needs, not only in our church, but here in our community. So as you are leaving, there will be deacons with baskets there at the doors if you'd like to contribute to that special benevolence offering. It really ministers to people in a very special way. So let's join together in prayer as we receive our offering this morning.